Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. Cheer me up, man. Cheer me up. I need some Oktoberfest beer. I need to stop at the little Halloween bucket we have here at the company and grab some of those marshmallow pumpkins that are covered in dark chocolate. I'll be honest with you. I do like the candy. I'm not going to lie. I just don't like to dress up and go get it, right? You go the day after, you get the Halloween sales, you buy the candy, blah, blah, blah. It's been on sale since July probably in stores. They've switched to Christmas by now, or they can't wait to move that crap out and put their Christmas candy out, to be honest with you. But grab some dark chocolate marshmallows. Do you like chocolate and marshmallow?
I love it. So good.
Do you know there's a vintage candy made in Kansas City? What is the name of that? I feel bad for not knowing this because they brought up it's made here in Kansas City, like Shawnee. What's the name of that company? Because they brought me a bunch of it. Mallow or something like that. Mallow Milk. Yeah. Vallow Milk.
Never heard of it.
Vallow Milk chocolate is made here locally in Kansas City. You can find it like at Cracker Barrels, those kind of things. But it is the beautiful blend of chocolate and marshmallow. Like I love chocolate and peanut butter. That's a great combination Reese's has, and that's like not something to ever joke about because it's very good. But chocolate and marshmallow, man, that'll give you a run, man. Vallow Milks are good, man. I got to get you one. When Kramer used to do the show when we were doing the night show together, I'd go out and get a vintage candy once a week. And I stopped it when I brought him in like a 5-year-old candy bar because I didn't look at the date on it because sometimes you got to be careful with getting old stuff. But I'd go out like the Zero Bar and stuff like that. I know you can find those at stores, but there's a history. It's made like 1926, 1927, something like that. There's a history to all this candy. But try yourself some Vallow Milk, my friend. Make that a must.
Sounds like I have to go try that, so I will find some.
And if I find some first, I'll bring you some, my friend.
Sounds like a plan.
But I do love the Vallow Milks. But Cracker Barrel is usually a place you can get stuff like that. I don't know if you've eaten the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I got a grandma who loves it.
Man, why did you have to go there, man?
What?
What do you mean you're... Can't you be in your 20s and go to Cracker Barrel?
Well, you definitely can, but I'm just saying.
Or does your grandma have to go?
I'm just saying, I never would have gone until my grandma went.
Damn it, man. You're being an ageist. You don't have to be 60 and 70 to go to a Cracker Barrel.
Okay.
If you don't want to, just drive and just go in the candy section and casually leave.
So you mean the gift shop before you sit down?
Well, I recommend the catfish, though.
Oh, catfish is good. I like the dumplings. The dumplings are good.
Anyway, there's some pretty good vintage candy. Well, it's 5-0 Yankees now. I saw you shaking your fist. You upset with this game?
Yeah, I'm not watching that game, though, so... I've got a little bit of...
Action?
I'm not watching the World Series game. I'm actually watching the Boston Celtics versus the Pacers because I have a little money on that game.
Well, you're in Kansas now, so you can play that game, right?
Yeah.
You come to work and you can play your bet.
We just don't let the girlfriend, Haley, know we've put some money down.
Well, she knows now.
But if she's listening, who knows?
But they always do. Not when you want them to, but they'll listen for a minute and a half, and it'll be when you're talking about this. Trust me, it happens.
All caps, I'm about to get a text. You're betting?
I called my ex-mother-in-law like a bulldog face one time, and that was like the 1 minute my ex-wife listened. Notice I said ex. But that's like the 1 minute she listened. Didn't listen to any of my Mahomes takes or great football takes or anything else, but listened to her mom looks like a bulldog. I mean... People find a weird time to listen, my friend.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be interesting. We'll see if I get a text.
5-0 now. Come on, 816. Come on, Bing. Cherry Mass Street in St. Joe. Cracker Barrel services beer. Do they have beer now, Cracker Barrel? I knew they had liquor. I didn't know they had beer now. That's crazy.
You're talking to the wrong person, my friend.
I know. Your grandma probably would know. But
yeah, she actually went last week.
But anyway, I like it, man. You know, call me weird, but I do like it. I'll get some Vallow Milks there. But I said I would be positive this segment because I've been very, very, very negative. So I'll be positive. This week, the Chiefs made a move that I absolutely love. Joshua Uche from the New England Patriots. Did that surprise you?
It did, but I like the trade like you do. We need another edge rusher, but I think this says more about Dana's status, injury status, than anything, really.
Fesco was all over this one, too. 100% all over this. Hey, watch, this trade could be coming down. I was talking to Dust Man, who had talked to Bob, and he's 100% right. Because they go get Joshua Uche. It, by the way, here's how he... A lot of people say Josh... Joshua. Here's himself pronouncing his name.
My name is Joshua Uche. My name is Joshua Uche. My name is Joshua Uche.
So it is Joshua Uche. Who's got 16 and a half sacks the last 3 years? It's been limited. He did decide to go back to New England this year on a one-year deal. Which surprised a lot of people that he went back to New England.
He took a lot of less money, too, that he could have got from other places.
And here's the good news. If you watched any of the progress of, like, Charles Omenihu, like, don't forget you got this guy coming back. I mean, no piece is better than a pass rusher in Charles Omenihu. This is not. But you're going to be getting him back. He's come back from that ACL. But that's like, oh, I forgot about this coming back. Just like Kyle Wright's going to be pitching for the Royals next year. And people kind of forget this guy led Major League Baseball in wins 2 years ago with the Atlanta Braves, but was with this team the whole year. But here, Charles Omenihu's coming back. Now, last year they were second in sacks. The year before they were second in sacks. This year, they did get to the quarterback 5 times against the Raiders. I mean, they dominated that offensive line of the Raiders. But they have 15 sacks in the season. This will help your secondary. It will. Because you do have Nazi Johnson hurt now. And, of course, Snead's gone. It's been banged up. But you got to find a way to get to the quarterback. Situationally, I'm not expecting a ton. But third down, you put him in, he gets to the quarterback. That's what he does. He leads in pressures, too. The guy is unbelievable at getting to his speed. He uses that speed to get around. He chases down and hunts down quarterbacks. You will like this move from the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they done? They only have $256,000 under the cap. Well, let's not forget Juwan Taylor helped out the Chiefs quite a bit. Juwan Taylor, by the way, 0 sacks given up when Max Crosby faced him 28 times this past week. But he restructured his contract that freed up $5.3 million for the Chiefs, which, of course, was used for D-Hop and Uche at this point. I think it would be ironic if the Chiefs get Marshawn Lattimore. That'd be like full circle time, right? Because he was picked in pick 11. Mahomes was picked 10th. The Saints wanted Mahomes, man. They did. But
Sean Payne won't stop talking about it.
Yeah, Chiefs got Mahomes. They got Marshawn Lattimore. If he ends up a Chief, that'd be funny. And the funny thing is, remember when John Ross came here in training camp and quit? Then with the Eagles this year, he was picked in front of Mahomes the same draft. The Bengals chose not to get Mahomes. Don't just lay everything on the Bears. There was 9 other teams that didn't pick Mahomes either, and the Bengals were one of them because they went and got John Ross.
Yeah, and that turned out bad because they thought John Ross was the next Tyreek Hill.
But I told you I'm only going to be positive. Who drafted Joshua Uche out of Michigan, who, by the way, played on the same defensive line as Mike Dana? Mike Dana transferred to Michigan his final year. He played at Central Michigan before that. Dana and Uche combined for 11 and a half sacks, which is quite a bit in college. Their final year at Michigan, 2019 in Michigan, Uche and Mike Dana, who wasn't, Dana wasn't even invited to the combine. Chiefs still drafted him. It was a home run. It was banged up last week and didn't play, but still a home run. Bill Belichick drafted Joshua Uche with the New England Patriots. Belichick has been, once a week he goes on with McAfee. McAfee's cornering everybody, man. Saban, Belichick, you name it. Which, by the way, as I've said, JT, that a Saban Belichick podcast would be that would be phenomenal and a huge money maker. But here was Belichick on what the Chiefs are getting.
Well, I assume it was a 25-6th. It was a 26-6th, and honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot, and you know it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Yeah, you always need pass rushers. Josh, but he likes to be Joshua now. Does it get anything any better than a ringing endorsement from Bill Belichick? I mean, granted, Belichick's the one that drafted him, but he didn't have to say that, though. But he glossed on him pretty good. I mean, that is actually something tangible from somebody that, okay, that's got some credence, right? That has some credence on what he's saying. And I love this move by the Kansas City Chiefs. We see him sooner rather than later? I think so. Is the defense complicated? Yes. But it's really complicated for the linebackers and secondary as far as who to cover, who not to, whether you're in man, whether you're in zone. There's a lot more. But just getting to the quarterback, pretty simple. Pretty simple. Third down, watch the run, but get to the quarterback and do whatever you can. But I'm looking forward to this move by the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it was well played by Brett Veach going out and making this move, and I'm very excited to see this happen. Hell, I'm excited when Charles Omenihu gets back for already a dominant defense with the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, the new power rankings are out. Plus, I'll look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense and their defense and let you know what they've been up to next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. Phone line 913-586-7965. Also the same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Well, JT, it's been very windy the last couple days. They're saying wind gusts hit at least 60 miles an hour out in Olathe. Stay safe out there. Thunder and lightning, very, 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 very frightening. I think. I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But it's dangerous. Be careful.
You're not a big lightning fan?
Am I a fan of lightning?
Yeah. Do you like lightning? Do you like thunderstorms? Like, you a big storm guy?
I don't mind the rain. You know what? I don't mind a nice thunder boomer here and there, lightning. I just don't like when the power goes out. That sucks, especially when it's hot and it ruins everything in your fridge. And oh my God, it makes your beer warm. But I listen to thunderstorm sounds a lot during the night. I will listen to that. I don't know if you listen to that or you.
I do not.
Well, I'm old, but I do. So yes, I guess I would be considered a storm fan. You a storm fan?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Do not like them.
Really?
Really, truly.
You know, I was at the bullpen area. We're getting ready for the show, and I heard the KMBZ talking. Do you know that 8 Applebee's are going to close tomorrow? Like, the 8 of the 10 that are in the metro, there's only going to be 2 left, like one in Gladstone and one in Blue Springs.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you ever take a date to Applebee's?
Yep. The girlfriend loves her some Applebee's. So
Mac Morey likes it, too.
So
morning
if it,
producer.
If it closes in Warrensburg, she's not going to be happy.
Well, you might have to drive. Might have to drive.
I mean, I can't believe it would close on a college campus, but you never know.
Here was the 807 update from Fox 4. Storms in Jackson County have blown up. 60-mile-per-hour winds possibly moving towards southwest Ray County and northwest Lafayette County. Be careful, man. Be careful out there with the lightning and storms. It's kind of in your area right now, too, JT, but it looks like that might be going the other direction. It'll be gone by, I think, the time you leave.
That's good.
Oh, I head up north, and I think that Northland got batted earlier, but I think, what do I know? I think a lot of it's gone, but who knows?
Just never know.
Who knows? The Bucket, what's your opinion on the Buccaneers? Like, last week when on Monday Night Football, a lot of people talking about the Bucs and whatnot and looking good. And then Godwin goes down. And Chris Godwin was having a hell of a year. He was leading the NFL in total yards. But, of course, he's hurt. Total offense, the Buccaneers, they're fourth. Passing, second. Running, 10th. They got a good offense. Points per game, fourth in the NFL, 29.4 points a game. Third down, very good. They're 52.5% on third down. KC, 11th in total offense, 12th with the pass, 13th with the run. Points per game, they're 9th, 24.7. So that bodes well for the Chiefs. Third down percentage, they're 2nd, 50.8%. So both these teams are very good on third down. Defensively is where they differ. The Buccaneers' points per game are 28th in the NFL. Total defense, they're 30th. Passing defense, they're 28th. Run defense, they're 20th. Third down, they're 19th. And as far as the Kansas City Chiefs are concerned, 5th in points per game. Total defense, 5th. Number 2 against the run. 17th against the pass. Third down percentage, 34.9%. So the Chiefs are getting it done when it comes to defense. So that is the big difference between those two teams is defensively. Except offensively, they're both very good on third downs. Now, keep in mind, Godwin was healthy when they start putting up these numbers. Big difference with him out.
Oh, it's a huge difference, even with Mike Evans out, too. Who's Baker going to throw to? I know they got Kate Otten at the tight end position, but, I mean, other
Otten's
than that.
Otten's been putting up some numbers.
Yeah, don't even remind me. He was on my bench this week in fantasy and put up 30.
Yeah, Mike Evans, what, probably another 2 weeks from being healthy?
Yeah, they said about 2 weeks, so I assume after their bye.
But yeah, some big losses for them, that's for sure. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs, but this rushing on the Chiefs, I mean, the rushing has been what's been incredible for this team. They've been absolutely dominant against the run. But you look at what they've done against the top runners from who they've played. You go back to start of the season. Derrick Henry, everybody's All-American, 13 carries, 46 yards. Lamar did have 122, I will add on that. To be fair, Zach Moss, Cincinnati, 12 carries, 34 yards, 77 as a team. Bijan Robinson, 16 carries, 31 yards, 82 as a team. J.K. Dobbins was off to a good year until he met the Chiefs, 14 carries, 32 yards, 55 as a team. Not much. Alvin Kamara, Saints, 11 for 26, 46 as a team. Jordan Mason of Frisco, 14 carries for 58 yards, 101 as a team. Then Alexander Mattison from the Raiders last week, 14 of 15. 14 carries, 15 yards, 33 as a team. That is called shutting it down for the Kansas City Chiefs. So Chiefs against the run, hey, it gets the other team off the field, gets Mahomes on the field more, which is perfect, and it's what you want. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to George in Overland Park. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. Good evening. Glad to have you outside on a cold and rainy night. Inside on a cold and rainy night.
Yeah, we're not outside. That'd be that'd be an interesting show.
No. Oh, hi. Yeah, people have done patio shows before.
I would have gone outside, but JT didn't want to tonight.
Well, there you go. Sirs, the first thing on my mind is you were talking about Valamints, the candies?
Oh, Valamilks.
Valamilks, yes. You know, if they make them in Shawnee, don't you think they'd sell them there at the factory?
I don't know where they sell them. I know that you can find them at Cracker Barrel or sometimes.
Well, I've seen vintage candies, or they call them retro now, at Big Lots and at World Market.
Okay. Is that where you buy your Valamilks?
Well, actually, I like an old candy bar called Big Hunk.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of the Zero Bar, man, because I like taking it and putting it in the freezer. I know you can buy them at Quick Trip down everywhere else. They have Zero Bar.
Oh, that's another thing.
But it's old school.
For some strange reason, North Kansas City gas stations, because maybe it's the original year that they came out, but they always seem to have older candy bars out there, old vintage candy bars.
That's awesome, man. I love vintage candy bars and stuff. And again, I'll throw them in the freezer. I like any candy bar thrown in the freezer, man.
I know you guys have been talking about the current situations.
Oh, and Chew, too. I put Chew in the freezer, but go ahead.
With the Chiefs. But I just had a general NFL observation. Is it me, or have safeties been on the rise this year more than normal?
They've taken kind of a new look. Last year was a bad year in free agency for safeties. Matter of fact, you can get
No. I mean the score, not the player.
Oh, you're not talking about safeties. You're talking about getting a safety.
Yes. I mean, the first three weeks for sure, there was at least one safety every week.
You see a lot of them in college football, too. A lot of you can't have penalties. Like, if you have a penalty in the end zone, refs love to call it.
I think it's a result of the new kickoff. That if they have to touch the ball beyond the 30-yard line and they kick it just deep enough that they're on the 5-10-yard line, you know, a bad scramble puts you back there in the first place.
I hate the new kickoff rule. I know it's a one-year deal. I think a couple things happen. I think that they'll start putting the ball in the 35 instead of the 30 if you decide to fair catch it in the end zone. I like what Belichick said. He said, just move the kicker back. Instead of kicking off on 35, just move it back.
No kidding. But on top of
it's
that,
it's dumb.
I also don't like the fact that you have to announce an onside. No.
It's a joke, man, because how many times are you watching college football and, like, a team will come out and surprise you to begin the second half? They'll see something on film and go with that onside kick to kind of ignite themselves coming back in the game. I mean, that's a part of football, man. It shouldn't go away. And the fact you have to announce it is ridiculous.
All you
got to
know is New Orleans, Atlanta, right after Hurricane Katrina. That onside kick was awesome.
Well, you're a fan of onside kicks, George, and I appreciate that because I like onside kicks as well. I like onside kicks, and I hate short side runs. Let's leave it that way. What's up, Big T and Shawnee?
Hey, man. Hey, Pete, thanks for taking my call, man. It was the night before Halloween, and not a creature was stirring, not even a ghost. I was tuned into 96.5 because I dig the host. Woo, I love Big. I love me some Big. Big, I couldn't agree with you more on Halloween, how overrated the adults have taken over. They should just leave all the kids at home and let the adults go out and trick-or-treat now.
I mean, they've ruined it, man. It's turned into a costume party with couples instead of the kids, man. Don't forget about the children.
That's right. That's right, man. And if you want to go out as a fan with your kids and all that, we could all appreciate it. But everybody, you know, they just like having fun on that night. And, Bink, I couldn't, you know, another thing you're talking about too, man, every year that Clark, he says something stupid. He looks like he has a bowl put around his head. And he had a haircut. I mean, maybe that's what's wrong with his brain. He doesn't have the proper haircut.
You're talking about Ryan Clark.
Stuff, just stupid stuff every year. And then that Brennan guy, he probably has his nuts waxed, Bink. You know, that's all you need to know about that guy. And, you know,
I shouldn't get so mad, but I saw it and I was like, man, this guy's talking about playing the Broncos and they play the Bucks. I mean, I can't take you seriously, man.
I mean, how they keep their job, Bink?
And then everybody's laughing on the set like he's funny. He wasn't funny, man. He's stupid.
He is. He just doesn't come prepared. Just show you how lazy they are, how low a football IQ they have. And, Bink, you know, people need to get their minds right, everybody. This defense is badass. They've been doing this since Philadelphia Super Bowl, Bink. The defense. Remember in Philly, the Super Bowl? Oh, the running game, so badass. So Philadelphia. What'd you do, Philly? You didn't do jack nothing.
They didn't give up a single sack, the Chiefs' offensive line against the vaunted Eagles. The Chiefs were number two in the NFL in sacks, but it wasn't talked about.
Well, and then our secondary guys go down, they just keep stepping up. And just Andy Reid, man, let's get the train rolling for him for coach of the year, and let's just keep these things rolling. We're going to take down the Bucks. We're going to 8-0. We're getting Denver's ass next, but let's take it one game at a time, and as always, let's go Chiefs. Choo-choo!
That way, Big T, the hype train. I will say this. Andy Reid, as much he deserves coach of the year, he should be, but they're not going to give it to him, which really sucks. He's won it one time, 2002. Sean Barber was on his team in Philadelphia when they won it. 2002 is the last time he won it. Kevin Stefanski has won it twice, which is a total joke. It means you got to suck and then be good. Andy Reid's problem is he's just good. That's his problem. He's just good every year. I mean, the guy's made the playoffs every year since 2014. The only year he didn't make the playoffs in Kansas City, but still finished 9-7. Still two games over 500 the one year he didn't make the playoffs. I mean, it's insanity what they're doing. It's the hardest thing to do in sports. To me, that deserves coach of the year more than anything. And I think if you look at it, okay, who went down? Who got hurt? Because this has been a rash of injuries as far as wide receivers in the NFL. It's been insane how many receivers have been hurt in the NFL. The Chiefs are top of that list. They just find a way to win. You bring in DeAndre Hopkins, got a couple catches against the Raiders. I was 100% for that move. Again, you could talk about his health and, you know, he's over 30 now, 32. What can he do? You don't need him for 2 years. You don't need him for 3 years. You need him until February. That's it. I'll be honest with you. I can't think of anybody that has better hands that's played for the Chiefs than him. I mean, maybe if you want to make the argument of Otis Taylor, that's certainly less. And Otis was a legend. But DeAndre catches everything. 3.6% career drop rate. 2018, he didn't have a single drop. And in Arizona, when he got traded from Houston, he had 315 targets, only three drops. That's a 1% drop rate. It's been the biggest problem with the Chiefs dropping the football, clearly. But he's got great hands. Knock on wood. And hopefully it continues. From the 816, Applebee's is the bomb. The one in St. Joe closed on Tuesday and was torn down by Sunday. What the hell are we doing to Applebee's? They closed the Hooters up by me, too. What's going on, JT? Can't we have anything good anymore?
Nope. Nope. You can't do it anymore. No more dollar margaritas.
I mean, Twin Peaks is still up there. Okay.
Twin Peaks, okay.
Yeah, they'll have to satisfy, you know, which it was, but they're taking away all our fun. We just want to have fun. Coming up next, rough day for quarterbacks in the NFL. Anthony Richardson found out the hard way next. Hey, welcome back, Jeff Inkley, JT Noah. All right, JT, what's going on? Bases loaded, no outs. Back-to-back errors for the Yankees?
Yep, bases loaded now for the Dodgers because of back-to-back errors. One by Aaron Judge and now one by Volpe. I mean, wow. Volpe had a shortstop, remember, throwing it to third, short hops it, and Jazz can't handle it, our favorite player in Kansas City.
Oh, and by the way, it looks like Stanton's homered as well in this game. His seventh in the postseason this year. That's called stepping up.
Yeah, Stan, dude, he hits home runs and he barely bends his knees. I'm like, I wish I could do that.
He's not very fast.
No, he's slower than my grandma. I love you, Grandma.
Man, what are you doing with your grandma, man?
I love her, man. She's been on my mind today. I don't know why. And you brought up Crackle Barrel, her favorite.
Be nice, JT.
Oh, she loves and adores me.
I know. I'm sure she does, JT. I'm sure that you're her favorite. I'm sure.
Oh, I am. Yeah, there's no question. My parents will say that, too.
Anthony Richardson. Remember Anthony, the fourth pick in the draft, even though Schefter said he was the third pick? He was the fourth pick. But I digress. He tapped out. Remember he tapped out this past week?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
He needed a break. Have you ever seen a quarterback do that?
Absolutely not. And also, I think there's...
I mean, just audible into a run or say, hey, coach, man, can we run the ball here or something? You know, just... Yeah, you don't do that.
I think you lie to the media, too, about it. Like, I think I tweaked something on my butt cheek or something, but, like, I was tired. I need to come out.
Here's what he said today, by the way.
Shane made the decision to switch quarterbacks. How did he explain it to you? Like, why was the decision made? How did he explain that to you?
He just told me that they were going to go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And, you know, I just had to, you know, just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily.
You're the fourth pick in the draft, man, and you're switching to Joe Flacco. Find out why. Why you bench me? Why? Is it because I took a playoff? Is it because I tapped out? To be honest with you, it's probably why. Because guys don't exactly respect that in the huddle or the locker room. I can't wait to talk to Mitch Schwartz about this Friday night on the Fans Football Show with the player tapping out. It just shows you the most difficult position in sports is figuring out who your quarterback's going to be. They spend so much time on it. Like, how did they ever think that Will Levis was a great idea in Tennessee? Remember that? He left the draft here in Kansas City because he wasn't taken the first round. Was taken real quickly, though, in the second round. But he left. He came to Kansas City, wasn't drafted. Who was going to take him anyway? He had 16 picks his final year at Kentucky. What genius at Tennessee thought that he would be the answer?
Well, I think he was always I felt he was always a project. And I get he was picked fourth, but I thought he was a project, and they just rushed.
Oh, 100%. They rushed him way too early. They rushed him way too early. But everybody's taking these dart stabs at quarterbacks to turn their franchise around. His second last year at Kentucky, he had 13 picks, led the nation. His last year at Kentucky, 10. That's 26 interceptions in 2 years from Will Levis. What part of that screams, man, let's draft him and make him our franchise quarterback? They did, though. It's continuing for NFL teams making mistakes. I mean, every day you got to feel lucky you got a Mahomes. In Buffalo, they should feel lucky they have a Josh Allen. In Baltimore, he can't beat Mahomes, but you got to be glad they have a quarterback in Lamar Jackson. Because people aren't doing it right, man. Teams aren't getting quarterbacks. The Chiefs have the ultimate upper hand because they've paid their quarterback and they still win, which is the toughest thing to do. But you're looking at all these quarterbacks, Trey Lance. You know, he was benched, Justin Fields benched, Will Levis benched, Zach Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, Bryce Young, first overall pick in the draft, looks like he'll be the starter now. Anthony Richardson already benched. I mean, what the hell is going on with quarterbacks? This is the position that you ought to hold your front office accountable for. Because if you don't get this right, it all goes downhill. If you don't get that field general, that guy, that quarterback, and again, these aging quarterbacks, they're going to continue getting that money. You thought it was funny that Trevor Lawrence got the bag and so did Dak Prescott? It's because there's nobody else out there. There's not. It's like the Atlanta Falcons. Like, you know, they signed Kirk Cousins to the big contract, but they still drafted Michael Penix, you know, in the first round. And I remember a lot of skepticism. What are they doing that? Because it's like they already had Tyler Allgeier and they went out and got Bijan Robinson in the draft. It's like they keep drafting the same position. But, I mean, maybe they're smarter than everybody else, because if you look at the quarterback class this year, I think there's only two first-rounders you can draft, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. In the year after, Arch Manning's in it. That's a good one. But then it's Nico, and then it's Avery Johnson. A top five quarterback is Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. That's how bad quarterbacks are going to be. And if they took a look at it and said, you know what, we'll go ahead and get Michael Penix. We'll get him to learn behind Kirk Cousins. If that was their thinking, brilliant. If they said, you know what, good quarterbacks don't exist the next 2 years, let's go ahead and get Michael Penix now. If that's what they were thinking, smart. Do I actually think that's what they were thinking? No.
I don't think they were actually thinking that, but I think they were kind of in the mindset of what the Chiefs did with Mahomes. Like, hey, this is the guy we want, and we think he's going to be something special, and he can develop under Kirk, and that's why they took him. Now, obviously, you wish you would have warned
Kirk. Which is fine, because he's the type of guy that, yeah, he'd gladly do it, but they didn't tell him that. He came in.
That's what I mean.
He came in not one look over shoulder at all.
So I think that was the big mistake by Atlanta. Like, hey, just warn Kurt that you're going to bring him in.
I just don't see how teams can continually miss it time after time after time after time. Honestly, that's really the position you have got to get right. If you're going to keep your job, you have to be right at that.
Unless you're the 49ers.
Or the Bears. And I know the Bears are happy, and they'll tell you they're happy with Caleb Williams, blah, blah, blah. Do you think deep down they're actually happy they went that instead of Jaden Williams? Do you think or Jaden Daniels, do you think they're actually happy they did that instead of Jaden?
I think they are. Because even in the loss to the Commanders, there's a lot of positives and negatives for both quarterbacks, Daniels and Williams. But the way Williams is surrounded, I think it's really bad up in Chicago. I think Jaden Daniels would be kind of in the similar situation Williams is, because that offensive line is atrocious up in Chicago.
Yeah, and Romo Odunze's there, and so you think,
I thought they should have took an offensive lineman over Odunze.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because you think about
I understand
all the
what they did, though. You wanted to pair up with that. I understand that, because a lot of people didn't think Cincinnati, they should have drafted Penei Sewell instead of Ja'Marr Chase. But I was like, man, you pair Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow, that's a pretty nasty combination to have to deal with.
The difference is, though, the Bears already had weapons. In Cincinnati, you didn't really have weapons before Ja'Marr Chase showed up. When you're looking at the Bears, you had Keenan Allen, you had DJ Moore. So it felt like they were just going for another weapon when you really need an offensive line, and it's kind of showing its hand because Caleb Williams has got to run for his life. Also, update 5-3.
5-3 now?
5-3 after another air by the Yankees.
Three errors in this inning,
and Freddie Freeman came up with the bases loaded and hit a two-run single.
Imagine that. Imagine Freddie stepping up.
Struck out.
That shoulder, I think, is bothering him a lot more. But I'll give him credit for toughing it out and doing it. But we are certainly not seeing the Shohei Ohtani show. It's been the Freddie Freeman show.
Freddie Freeman. I'll tell you. You know how you hate watching the World Series because of the teams? The reason I watch is because I love Freddie Freeman. I loved him when he was in Atlanta. I think he's just a really... He's like the Kirk Cousins, it feels like, of baseball. Where you probably can find him at Kohl's.
He hasn't homered tonight, but he's got, a home run in 6 straight postseason games. World Series games. Not postseason, World Series games. That's incredible.
And that walk-off to game one. Unbelievable.
I mean, that's some serious
Did the Dodgers just do it? Oh, my. Oh, my. It looks like it's about to be tied.
Oh, man. Hold that thought. We'll update it. Final segment coming up next. We'll update the World Series. Are they going to go back to L.A.? That's the question. Maybe not. Welcome back. 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, JT Noah. You know, they have cameras in here for coding gold, right? Actually, every show does that, but we don't do it. But the they put it on camera, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, or X. It's on, it's, which means I have to probably shower tonight because I'm going to be with Alex tomorrow. I guess I'll have to maybe look my best. Now, there will be no costume. Shower, okay. I guess. You know, one gal that I went out with for a long time, she saw me chewing when it was, I forgot it was on video. You chew? Yes, I do. Especially when I do radio. It calms me. All right, JT. It was 5-0 Yankees. Gerrit Cole was cruising to the fifth. He had not given up a hit. But man, things have changed in this game because he did give up some hits, and he had to deal with 3 errors from the Yankees.
Yeah, so you remember when the Blue Jays were in town in the postseason in 2015, and there was the drop in the outfield where someone thought they called it, and then the Royals rallied to win. The Bautista one, right. Well, this time, Judge has a line drive to him, and he drops it. So, yeah, runners on first and second. Volpe then
short. There's your MVP.
Yeah, Volpe then short arms a throw from shortstop to third to give the bases loaded. He strikes out Shohei Ohtani. Betts comes up, and he hits a grounder to first. And Gerrit Cole doesn't cover first. And Betts gets there before Rizzo does because Rizzo's on that bum ankle.
And that's hard. I mean, if you're a pitcher cruising, you like sit there and go, all right, well, the defense let him down. If you're not covering first base, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, and then comes Freddie, hits a two-run single. And then after that, Teoscar Hernandez hits one over Aaron Judge, and we're tied 5-5, headed to the bottom now.
That's Mr. Clutch, man.
Man.
Freddie Freeman's Mr. Clutch, man. There's ice water in those veins. You don't hit 6 home runs in 6 straight World Series games if you're not clutch. He does not have a home run in this game, but Freddie Freeman is 1-for-3 and 2 ribs.
He's my MVP.
You said he had it. Well, yeah, of course. And the Dodgers really want this one because the last one they won was that COVID one. Remember when there's no fans in the stands, except for the World Series. I think they allowed fans or 30%. I can't remember what
it
was.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was at Arlington in Texas.
Yeah, but they want a real one, and I get it. Like, NBA players have to deal with that because they actually played in that bubble. Major League Baseball at least played in the stadiums. The NFL didn't miss a single game during that, by the way, so that was limited fans in some of the places, but the Dodgers really want to win this non-COVID World Series. I mean, it's pushing them.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you think about it. This is the reason Shohei Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, to win a World Series. He was with the Angels for so long, never even got to sniff the playoffs, and now first year in the playoffs, he's there. That's why he doesn't want to sit out with the shoulder injury.
It's like Mike Trout. He's only played in 3 postseason games. The Royals swept him. .83 is his postseason average. I mean, you can sit at the bar and debate, you know, MVPs and how Mike Trout was one of the best players in the game. That's fine. But you're kind of defined on what you do in the postseason, man. As much as you think, okay, rings don't matter, ask Dan Marino if rings matter. Because that always comes up with Dan. Had he won his second year in the NFL, I think we'd all look at Dan Marino much differently.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think
because he's one of the best ever, but it always comes back to, well, did he win a ring? Yeah, there's a lot of deficiencies when he played, the running game, the defense, things like that.
And it's always about the rings. That's why we say Tom Brady's the GOAT. That's why we think it's so crucial for Mahomes to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, because not only will he have more, he'll have the ring, but also it gives him that sentiment of like, hey, I did this over Tom Brady.
It gives you the shut-up factor.
Oh, really?
Well, just shut up. And there's a lot of people in national media who need to learn to shut up because they've ruined my experience. I don't even like, man, I love watching these shows, but I can't stomach watching these anymore without getting pissed. It's like Eddie from Christmas Vacation. Every time the old lady turns on the microwave, I piss my pants and forget who I am for half an hour or so. It's like me watching NFL Network sometimes. That was some lightning. JT, great stuff. Great working with you, my friend. Thanks for listening. Good night. Don't forget Dusty and Bob coming your way at 5:58. I'll be sitting here with Alex 10 to 2. Good night.